أَوَلَمْ يَسِيرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ فَيَنْظُرُوا كَيْفَ كَانَ عَاقِبَةُ الَّذِينَ كَانُوا مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ كَانُوا هُمْ أَشَدَّ مِنْهُمْ قُوَّةً وَآثَارًا فِي الْأَرْضِ فَأَخَذَهُمُ اللَّهُ بِذُنُوبِهِمْ وَمَا كَانَ لَهُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ مِنْ وَاقٍ.
Have they not journeyed in the land that they might observe the end of those who came before them? They were even greater in strength than they and left behind more splendid traces in the land. Then Allah seized them because of their sins, and they had none who could protect them from Allah.
ذلك بأنهم كانت تأتيهم رسلهم بالبينات فكفروا فأخذهم الله إنه قوي شديد العقاب.
They came to this end because their messengers would come to them with clear signs, and yet they would refuse to believe. So Allah seized them. He is indeed strong, terrible in retribution. They came to this end because their messengers would come to them with clear signs.
Bayyinat signifies the following. 1. The clear, distinct signs which attest that the messenger, peace be upon him, had been raised by God. 2. The weighty arguments which prove that the teachings of those messengers were utterly true. And 3. The valuable guidance about various aspects of life that would convince every sensible person that a liar or selfish person could not have imparted such teachings as are so utterly true, morally so unblemished and superb.
وَلَقَدْ أَرْسَلْنَا مُوسَى بِآيَاتِنَا وَسُلْطَانٍ مُبِينٍ.
Verily, we sent Moses, peace be upon him, with our signs and a clear authority. Verily, we sent Moses.
For a detailed account of the Prophet Moses' story, peace be upon him, see Al-Baqarah 2, 49-61 and 164, Towards Understanding the Quran, Volume 1, pages 73-7. Al-Ma'idah 5, 20-6, Volume 2, pages 114-115 and page 150. Al-Araf 7, 103-60, Yunus 10, 75-93, Hud 11, 17, 90, 98, and 110, and Ibrahim 14, 5-13, Volume 4, pages 54-64, 90, 131-2, 136, 147-50, and 254-8, Bani Israel 17, 101-4, Al-Kahf 18, 60-83, Maryam 19, 51-3, Taha 20, 9-98, Volume 5, pages 78-80, 116-22, 163, and 182-222, Al-Mu'min 23, 45-9, Volume 6, pages 100-1, Al-Shu'ara 26, 10-68, Al-Naml 27, 7-14, and Al-Qasas 28, 3-43, Volume 7, pages 55-74, 138-44, and 195-223, and Al-Ahzab 33, 69, and Al-Safat 37, 114-22, Volume 9, pages 108 and 309.
With our signs and a clear authority.
In other words, these distinct signs left no doubt that the messengers had been deputed by God and that they had God's power at their backs. A careful reading of the Quranic account of the Prophet Moses' story, peace be upon him, makes it clear as to which signs clearly established that he had been designated by God as his messenger. First of all, it was simply astounding that a person who had fled a country a few years ago because he had killed someone reappeared all of a sudden in Pharaoh's court and boldly summoned the king and his courtiers to believe in God, thereby asking that they recognize him as the representative of God, the Lord of the universe, and that they follow his directives. Indeed, it was astonishing that on that occasion no one dared to seize Moses, peace be upon him. This becomes all the more striking since the Prophet Moses, peace be upon him, belonged to a community that was oppressed and was groaning under the yoke of slavery and subjugation. Had Moses, peace be upon him, been arrested on the charge of murder, presumably his community would not have even dared to protest, let alone rise in rebellion against it. It is evident, therefore, that even before they witnessed the miracles of the rod and the shining hand, the Egyptian courtiers were overawed by the Prophet Moses, peace be upon him. In their very first encounter with Moses, peace be upon him, they realized that he was sponsored by someone truly mighty. Furthermore, Moses, peace be upon him, presented one miracle after another, each clearly demonstrating that he was supported by God. This because mere magic cannot transform a rod into a serpent, nor can magic cause a famine to hit a whole country, nor can a vast country spread over thousands of square miles be hit by myriads of storms at a moment's notice and again subside at a moment's notice. Therefore, the Quran states that Pharaoh and his courtiers, notwithstanding their verbal rejection of Moses, peace be upon him, realized that he had been sent to them by God. For further detail, see Al-A'raf 7:107-117, Towards Understanding the Quran, Volume 7, pages 61-70 and page 143. Taha 20, 56-78, Volume 5, pages 196-207. Al-Shu'ara 26, 30-51, and Al-Naml 27:12, Volume 7, pages 61-70 and 143, along with the relevant notes.
إلى فرعون وهامان وقارون فقالوا ساحر كذاب.
To Pharaoh and Haman and Korah, they said, "He is a sorcerer, an utter liar." To Pharaoh and Haman.
For a refutation of the opponent's objections regarding Haman, see Al-Qasas 28, note 8, Towards Understanding the Quran, volume 7, pages 197-8.
فَلَمَّا جَاءَهُمْ بِالْحَقِّ مِنْ عِنْدِنَا قَالُوا اقْتُلُوا أَبْنَاءَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مَعَهُ وَاسْتَحْيُوا نِسَاءَهُمْ وَمَا كَيْدُ الْكَافِرِينَ إِلَّا فِي ضَلَالٍ.
When Moses, peace be upon him, brought them the truth from us, they said, "Kill the sons of all the believers who have joined him, but spare the women. The guile of the unbelievers always ends in vain." When Moses, peace be upon him, brought them the truth from us,
by showing a series of miracles, the Prophet Moses, peace be upon him, conclusively established that he was God's messenger, and by marshaling a range of weighty arguments, he proved that he was on the right path.
They said, "Kill the sons of all the believers who have joined him, but spare the women."
Verse 127 of Surah Al-A'raf, Surah 6, mentions that Pharaoh's courtiers had asked him how long he would allow Moses to spread mischief in the land. In reply, Pharaoh had expressed the resolve to slay all Israeli male children and spare female children so as to thwart Moses' mission. This verse makes it clear that his command was issued at Pharaoh's behest in order to terrorize Moses' followers and supporters into abandoning him.
The guile of the unbelievers always ends in vain.
The actual words are, "The guile of the unbelievers always ends in vain." These words can also mean that since all the vain tricks of the unbelievers were intended to promote injustice, iniquity, oppression, and enmity to the truth, their adamant opposition grew even after the truth had become clear to them, and after they had become convinced of it in their hearts. They went so far in their opposition that they spared no means, howsoever ignoble, to oppose the truth.
وقال فرعون ذروني أقتل موسى وليدع ربه إني أخاف أن يبدل دينكم أو أن يظهر في الأرض الفساد.
One day Pharaoh said, "Let me go and kill Moses, peace be upon him. Then let him invoke his Lord. I fear that he will change your religion or cause disruption in the land." One day, Pharaoh said,
"This marks the beginning of the Quran's account of an important event in Israelite history, one that has been ignored by the Israelites themselves. Indeed, both the Bible and the Talmud make no reference to it. It is only the Quran that tells us how this incident took place during the course of the conflict between Pharaoh and the Prophet Moses, peace be upon him. Anyone who studies this Quranic account with an open mind is bound to recognize the story's immense significance. It is not unlikely that impressed by the Prophet Moses' personality, his preaching, and his amazing miracles, a member of Pharaoh's court should have embraced the true faith. Furthermore, it is not inconceivable that he should have been unable to restrain himself after noting Pharaoh's design to assassinate the Prophet Moses, peace be upon him. However, blinded as the Orientalists are by their hostility to Islam, they throw dirt on the self-evident truths the Quran embodies and do so despite all their tall claims to objectivity. Take, for instance, the article on Moses, peace be upon him, in the Encyclopedia of Islam, especially its following passage, which is a typical illustration of their attitude. The Quranic story of a believer at the court of Pharaoh who wants to save Musa is not quite clear. Ought we to compare Jethro in the Haggadah who advocates clemency at Pharaoh's court? The presumption of these Orientalists is that every Quranic account is decidedly unsound. Indeed, they dismiss almost every Quranic narrative as incredible or dubious. In the above instance, the suggestion is that the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, may somehow have come to know of something about Jethro, which he passed off in this surah as the account of a believer in Pharaoh's court. This is the level to which Western scholarship can stoop in regard to Islam, the Quran, and the Prophet, peace be upon him.
"Let me go and kill Moses, peace be upon him."
Pharaoh gives the impression that some people had prevented him from executing the Prophet Moses, peace be upon him. However, there was no person who could have deterred him from going ahead. Rather, it was only his own fear that prevented him from fully taking on God's messenger.
"Then let him invoke his Lord. I fear that he will change your religion or cause disruption in the land."
Pharaoh expresses his fear that the Prophet Moses, peace be upon him, was trying to bring about a revolution. Even if Moses, peace be upon him, were unable to so do, his activities were nonetheless imperiling public order in the country. Hence, in Pharaoh's opinion, even before Moses, peace be upon him, was able to commit any crime that carried the death penalty, Moses, peace be upon him, should be executed in order to maintain public order. Pharaoh did not, however, put forward any evidence of any criminal act committed by the Prophet Moses, peace be upon him. Instead, his apprehensions alone were sufficient to put into effect his desire to punish Moses. Since he considered Moses, peace be upon him, a dangerous person, his head should be chopped off. At this point, it is necessary to understand what Pharaoh meant when he accused Moses, peace be upon him, that it would change your religion. Verse 26. The word used in the verse that has been used is deen, which in this context denotes the system of government that was then in vogue in Egypt. In other words, this meant that Pharaoh feared that Moses, peace be upon him, would subvert the pharaonic dominance in Egypt. See Alusi, Ru al-Mani, comments on Surah Al-Mumin 40:25. In other words, the religious, political, social, and economic order then operating in Egypt represented the deen of the country. Pharaoh feared that the Prophet Moses, peace be upon him, called to monotheism would lead to the overthrowing of that order. Like all cunning rulers, Pharaoh did not charge the Prophet Moses, peace be upon him, with acting in opposition to his political authority. Rather, he projected Moses, peace be upon him, as a grave threat to public order insofar as the latter's success would subvert their deen, meaning thereby the established system of the land. He thus invoked the support of his subjects, urging them to rise against the Prophet Moses, peace be upon him, whom he depicted as their enemy, the enemy of their state and community. At the same time, Pharaoh cleverly projected himself as someone who was not worried for his own sake. Rather, he really worried that his people would suffer immensely if he were removed from the scene. He therefore urged that they should exterminate Moses, peace be upon him, the enemy of their country and their nation.
وقال موسى إني عذت بربي وربكم من كل متكبر لا يؤمن بيوم الحساب.
Moses, peace be upon him, said, I have taken refuge with my Lord and your Lord from everyone who waxes arrogant and does not believe in the day of reckoning. Moses, peace be upon him, said, I have taken refuge with my Lord and your Lord from everyone who waxes arrogant and does not believe in the day of reckoning.
There are two equally plausible possibilities as regards what happened, and there is no reason to prefer one over the other. One possibility is that the Prophet Moses, peace be upon him, was present in court when Pharaoh expressed his intention to execute him, and Moses, peace be upon him, then made these remarks while addressing Pharaoh and his courtiers. The other possibility is that Pharaoh might have suggested the same in a private council of his chiefs in Moses' absence, and that the Prophet Moses, peace be upon him, was subsequently informed by some believers of what Pharaoh had said in that meeting. Upon hearing this, Moses, peace be upon him, possibly made these remarks to his followers. Whatever the case, it is clear that Pharaoh's threat did not cause Moses, peace be upon him, the least concern. Reposing his faith in God, the Prophet Moses, peace be upon him, paid no heed to Pharaoh's threat and threw it with impunity at his face. The same should be the Prophet Muhammad's response to the unbelieving Meccans who, much like Pharaoh and his supporters, were actively engaged in efforts to assassinate him.